Actually, let's take our Bibles together to the book of Ephesians one more time. We're in chapter 6. We wind up after we've come through this armor of the Lord in Ephesians 6, verse 18. So we pick up where we left off. Verse 18, we'll read to the end of this epistle. Ephesians 6, 18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, the context of what we've read comes on the heels of the whole armor of God. And it's been said that prayer in verse 18 that's introduced to us is really the seventh or the final piece of the armor. It doesn't necessarily say that because there's no other likened unto any other certain piece of equipment. But nevertheless, I think that would be a valid point. We've looked at the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And now we come to prayer. And some have likened it, they've said, unto greaves. Those are ankle protections, not ankle protections, or shin protections, or maybe even knee protections. And so it's likened unto maybe us praying on our knees and the padding there or the protection there. But really, a lot of you praying probably don't need to be on your knees. It needs to be on your face. I don't know how you get a face pad, but nevertheless, the prayers here of the people of God are important in this battle. Now, this last few verses reads very, very much like Colossians chapter 4, the last part of Colossians. It's very possible, very likely that the books of Ephesians and Colossians were being carried together at the same time. Tychicus is also mentioned in that text in Colossians chapter 4, along with a similar reading of just what we've read tonight. They could have been carried together, even with the epistle or the letter to Philemon. But nevertheless, as he comes to this, he ends this chapter, he starts talking about prayer. And he just got through talking about the Word of God, of course, being the sword of the Spirit. And then he gets into prayer. And I think the Word of God and prayer really need to be indelibly linked, and I believe they are. You know, the Word of God is God talking to you. And prayer is you talking to God. And without the two, there's not going to be much of a relationship. It's not just you reading your Bible, but it's not just you praying. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we just get lopsided? We just can't get balanced like Jesus is. A lot of times someone that has a hard time reading their Bible, the prayer is, you know, they pray every day, or they can get through the prayers, but those that read their Bible sometime, they just don't ever find time to pray. And may I say this, I remember a long time ago, my grandfather, we were talking about my grandfather today, Brother Shock just got through preaching at the church he started there in Coleman and preaching a meeting down there. And the same man's there that my grandfather recommended for them to have. And they were talking about my grandfather. And anyway, I remember my grandfather sitting me down. I guess I was 15 years old, and I'd given my life to the Lord, and I wanted to serve God. And he just made it real plain to me. He said, "Son, I'll tell you, if you'll just do these two things, if you'll just stay in that Bible and stay on your knees, I believe you'll be all right." You know, that was so simple. That was so simplistic. You know, we try to make the Christian life very hard. But I tell you, I never met anybody that got out of the will of God or got in gross sin that first didn't get out of their Bible and get off their knees. And I don't know about you, but I every time this happens, every time a message in the Bible and the subject is prayer, I'm already at the altar before I get through preaching. Because I think it's one of the telltale signs of our hearts of where we are with God. Not only our Bible reading, but our prayer life. I really think it does tell us where we are spiritually. And there was a generation that was given to prayer. I don't think we're in that generation any longer. And there was a generation that knew how to pray. And they knew how to pray. And they knew how to really get a hold of the Lord. And they really knew how to ring heaven's bells and get God's attention. And I just don't think that's very much true anymore. Some people used to excel in just being a prayer warrior. That was their ministry. You know, we've heard so much about Charles Spurgeon's ministry in the past and what a great ministry it was. But do you know that he had men in that church that were committed to pray while he was preaching every message he ever preached? They were down into that church beseeching God for his favor, his power, his touch, and his help for sinners and help for that preacher. I think we're trying to do some things with a dull axe. I think we're trying to go through the Christian life sometimes, and we don't even, you know, it'd probably be good for us to take our temperature. We do that sometimes to check our sicknesses. But our spiritual sickness sometimes, we can check our temperature with our prayer life. How sweet is it? How consistent is it? How true is it? We can check our temperature of our spiritual life with the Word of God. Am I in that Bible? Am I reading it? I didn't really mean to say it the way it came out, but it was pretty caustic last time we were in this text about the Word of God. And I said, if you're not reading your Bible, your Christianity is a joke. And that sort of came off a little harsh. But I really believe it checks the temperature of our lives. I think something else checks the temperature of our lives spiritually. I think our thanks, our gratitude, our thankful spirit. These are things that really show us where we are with God. And I want to ask you tonight, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? He says in this verse 18, he says, praying always. Prayer shows our dependence upon God instead of dependence upon ourselves. That's why people that aren't depending upon God pray very little. And that's why people that know all that they do is going to determine by what God does through them and in them and with them are people of prayer. Prayer is strength. Prayer makes this battle that we are in against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Prayer makes the battle and God's resources real to us. And we need to appropriate this part in the Christian battle. And it's not only a battle, as we've seen through the book of Ephesians. Half the book talks about our heavenly blessings and the other half our earthly responsibilities and the battles that take place. And we are in a battle. But you know, prayer is not just a part that'll help you in the battle. Prayer is a part that'll be a blessing, a heavenly blessing in your life. Oh man, some of the places God has met with me in prayer. And warn my heart and just let me know of another world and a connection between my heart to a better place and my seat that's on high. I would say this, a message on prayers, we start this, praying always, it's better practiced than preached. You know, I think that's the way witnessing is. It's better just to do it than to talk about it all the time. And prayer really, instead of having all the seminars on prayer, it would just be better if people just got out there and did it. And I think the same thing is true about being a witness. But our prayer is not limited to a place. Aren't you glad that? Yeah, you don't have to just be in church to pray. Thank God for that. You can pray everywhere. God says, I will that men pray everywhere. He doesn't care where you are. He says about everything and everything we can pray, about everything. And our position in prayer, our posture in prayer. You can be on your knees. You can be on your face. But we need to pray. How's your prayer life? He says in verse 18, let's look at it, praying always. Boy, have you ever thought, how am I going to do that? Praying always. And you know, we've had a lot of people explain what that means, and I've really almost not tried to do that. I just want to read it. I just want to think about it. I want it to convict my heart. I want it to be in such a way where I can say, well, you know, you can't do 25 things at one time and how can you pray 24 hours a day? I don't even think I want to answer that question. I just want to read that praying always and acknowledge that I really have a hard time doing that. How about you? Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke chapter 18 verse 1. We are either praying or we're fainting. The Bible lets us know that we're either praying or we're worrying. Isn't that what Philippians chapter 4 teaches us? Everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're either praying or we're fainting. We're either praying or we're worrying. Those things are one or the other. We're either praying or we're away from God. You can be in church and be away from God. But you can't, brother, you can't pray in a real way and be and go through the motions of life if our prayers are from our hearts. We'll get to that in just a second. It shows our relationship, our closeness with God. If we had to grade our closeness to God Almighty based upon our prayer life, I wonder how close we would have to say that we are. Praying always. Then he says praying always with all prayer. Now that's strange. Praying always, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, there are different types of praying. If you write this down, we won't get into it in detail, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, there are four types of praying. You've got two of them mentioned here. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In other words, there's more than one way to pray. And all the ways that we are to pray are to be in our lives. 1 Timothy 2, 1, I exhort, first of all, he says, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's four types of praying. Now, I tell you what, and right there, you know, we just stop and hit the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Have you prayed for all men? I said, you know what's wrong with people? They don't get prayer. If you just open the phone book up, do we even have phone books anymore? We used to get a phone, you know, phone books. You'd open up and you see all those names. What if somebody just went through and prayed for those names? That's part of all men, isn't it? But we're just anemic in prayer. We really are. We don't do it very much. And we pray very little, and then we complain a lot why things don't go so well. Now look, you know, here's the way I am. If something go well, I'm going to blame myself. I'm not going to blame the Lord. Well, I just missed that. I should have prayed more. We're quick to give ourselves the easy way out. But there are four types of praying. I exhort, first of all, that prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, supplication, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. So there are four types of praying. The first is prayers. Now, you say, what do you mean? Well, that's just generally talking to God. Have you ever talked to God? You didn't ask him for anything. And you didn't necessarily even thank him. You just talked to him. How do you do with people you love? You talk to them? Do you talk to them about stuff that's not even important? You just carry on a conversation, right? With people you're interested in? And you talk about the weather, right? You talk about what you've been doing? You talk about what you're planning to do? You talk about what's interesting to them? I wonder in our prayer life, do we talk to God about the weather? Lord, it sure is a pretty day today. Lord, I hope it's just going well in heaven. Lord, I'm looking for a parking space today, there it is. Just talking to him. You know, not even asking for anything, just talking to him. Lord, I tell you what, I sure am stupid today. I messed up today. Just talk to him. Not really saying anything. Lord, why don't those deer come by my way? Where have they been running? Why are they running under everybody else's tree? Just talk to him. I'm just talking about talking to God. Just prayers. Just a discussion. Lord, I don't know what's wrong with these people. They're just strange. Lord, I got some decisions to make, and I just talk to him about things. I mean, do you talk to yourself? Some people, to be sane, David communed with his heart on his own heart, with his own self, his own bed. Talk to himself. You ever just talk to God? Just talk to him. Not even about anything. Well, he says, I exhort prayers. And he says, supplications. Now, what is a supplication? A supplication is asking God for a supply. Lord, we sure need some grace. Lord, we need some mercy down here. Lord, we need a supply of money. Lord, I need some health. Yeah. I had to pray that this morning. I filled in to sing this morning because Mom was out of town. They were on the schedule. And my sinuses were acting up. I said, Lord, I need a supply of some vocal cords here because I'm not going to be able to sing. I need a supply in my body. Do you pray for a supply? Or do you just try to go around and try to get those things that you need for yourself besides talking to God for them? Do you have a need of something? Supplications. And then he says intercessions. If you're always praying about yourself, you've not entered into prayer. You've not entered into all the things. Look, your prayer life shouldn't just be about you. If it is, you're stuck on yourself. You ought to be interceding for people. You ought to be praying for other people. You ought to be praying for lost people. You ought to be praying for saved people. You ought to be praying for your family members. He's going to talk in this text about praying for all saints. You see that in verse 18, I think. Is it the last three words? He says, for all saints. That's everybody. That means don't just pray and intercede for people you like. Yeah, that's the last three words of the verse. Supplication for all saints. Pray for everybody. Is it not just your family? No, we're not careful. We'll get caught. We'll just pray for our own family. We'll pray for our own self. We'll pray for the people we like. We'll pray for our favorites. We got my prayer list. These are my favorite people I'm praying for. Well, I don't begrudge that because most people don't even have a prayer list. Praise God if you've got a list of favorites you pray for. I'm glad that you're praying. But he says pray for all saints. Pray for everybody. Make some intercession for other people. Maybe that you don't care for. Maybe that you don't understand, but put some prayer on them. He said, prayers, supplications, intercessions, and he said, giving of thanks. If all we do is ask God for things for ourselves or for other people, we've missed all the parts of prayer. You ought to just have times in your prayer life, you just talk to God and you just thank him. You say, this carnal mind and the way we are as sinners, sometimes that takes a little bit of work. And if we can only thank God for 5 minutes, we got some work to do. Try it. Try to just spend some solid time praying, and all you're doing is thanking God. You're not even repenting of your sin. You're not even asking for a need. You're just thanking Him. You are praising Him. You are adoring Him. And that's what your prayer is about. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We'll go back to our text. God gives us another lesson about our prayer life. It's the need in the battle, and it's a blessing as well. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, what's the next three words? In the Spirit. Your prayer needs to be in the Spirit. Now, that might seem strange to a Baptist. Somebody said, well, if I'm praying, that means I'm praying in the Spirit. No, it doesn't, or he wouldn't have said that. If it's just prayer, then he wouldn't have to say in the Spirit. If all prayers made by God's people are in the Spirit, there was no reason for him to say what he said. But that's even repeated in the little epistle of Jude. Jude says it like this in Jude verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, listen now, praying in the Holy Ghost. God says, I tell you what your prayer life needs to be. It needs to be in the Spirit. It needs to be in the Holy Ghost. You say, well, what does that mean? Is that some spooky thing? No, that has nothing to do with tongues. Aren't you glad that some of that's sort of going out of style now? It's like a fad, you know. It took the whole world by rage, and now it just seems like all these secret churches and a lot of them getting away from this tongue-talking stuff. That's not praying in the Spirit. You know what? The Spirit of God is in me, right? Well, number one, I can't pray in the Spirit if the Spirit is not in me. There's a lot of people that pray and the prayer never goes to God because the Spirit of God doesn't live inside of them. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost in you? Are you in the Holy Ghost? But now here's the kicker. Is your prayer in the Holy Ghost? You say, what does that mean? Go to Romans 8 and I'll show it to you. You say, preacher, I pray. Well, praise the Lord. Are you praying in the Spirit? Romans chapter 8. I've been around a lot of people. You know, Hindus pray. And Muslims pray. And Catholics say the rosary. All types of people pray. That doesn't mean they're praying in the Spirit. I tell you what, get two places. Grab Romans chapter 8 and get 1 John chapter 5. I want to give you five little quick things here about what it means to pray in the Spirit. This is what I can see in the Bible. A lesson about our prayer lives. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of prayers that God never does hear. They don't get to heaven. He's not interested in them because they're not in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, I think we get a good input about what that would be. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Watch it. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit. There's a subject of what we're talking about. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now stop. That means a lot of times our prayer life is a bunch of bunk. It's not right. It's not what God wants us to pray about in the first place. We don't even know how we're supposed to pray. And now he's not talking about the words we use. He's talking about the subject, the content. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, there we go, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Watch it now. Because he maketh intercession for these saints according to the what? The will of God. So the Spirit of God, linked with prayer and intercession, is always according to the will of God. Do you see that in the Bible? Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He heareth us. Now, turn that around. If you're asking not according to his will, does he even hear what you say? You see what the Bible says? Well, I don't know why I didn't get my prayer answered. Maybe you're not praying in the Spirit. Maybe you're not praying according to the will of God. Maybe your request was not God's will, so God didn't even pay any attention to it. And you know, let me say this. I'm glad we've got a God like that. Because there are probably a lot of things I've asked for that, man, at the end of the day, would have broke my neck, would have messed my life up. And the Lord said, I'm not even going to listen to that. He's listening to the prayers according to the will of God. I prayed God kill people before. Lately. No, I mean, really. But you know what? God listens to prayers according to his will. Now, before you get haughty on me, there are some prayers in the Bible about that. So, you know, we can always put a Bible verse with stuff we want to do. Right? But when I pray in the Spirit, listen now, I'm praying according to the will of God. You remember James chapter 4, he came to him, he says, you ask, you're praying, but you receive not. Because you ask amiss. That you may consume it upon your own lust. You're talking to me about things about you and I'm not even listening to you. I'm telling you, when you pray in the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, 1 John chapter 5, you are praying according to the will of God. That means when we pray, we're not just supposed to be running our mouth. We're supposed to have a heart that understands and is seeking God about the will of God. You know what I know? I know it is the will of God for me to preach and teach the Bible in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. You know why? It's in the book. Do you know what I do? I go, I say, Lord, please, call me to preach in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God, because that is a prayer according to the Spirit of God. You see, preacher, sometimes I don't know what the will of God is. Well, it's his will that you do know what his will is. And maybe sometimes we've not done the Christian work to know what the will of God is that we need to be praying about. I'm just saying praying in the Spirit is a praying according to the will of God. I think, secondly, you could say praying in the Spirit is praying with sin out of your heart. Psalm 66, 18, Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what?
Not hear me.
So obviously I'm not praying in the Spirit if I'm, see here, if I'm walking after the flesh, then I'm not walking after the Spirit. So if there, look, listen to me now. If you are living a sinful life, God does not listen to a word you say. I don't care how you smile. I don't care how much you cry. Until you repent and get the wickedness out of your life, God don't care about your prayer. He wants you to be praying always in the Spirit. And if you're in the flesh, it don't work. He said in Proverbs, he said, if a man turns his ear away from hearing the law, listen, even his prayer is an abomination. In other words, that guy says, I don't want to hear God's word. I don't want to listen to what God has to say. God says, well, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. Isn't that something? We expect God to listen to every prayer we pray. And yet many times we don't expect ourselves to listen to what he's told us. Praying in the Spirit means I'm praying not with sin in my heart. Jesus gave us another instance of what praying in the Spirit, I think, is. In Matthew chapter 6, he talked about prayer. Matthew 6, 5 through 8, he said this to him. He said, use not vain repetitions as the heathen use, because they shall think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And the Lord's not going to listen to vain repetitions that have no meaning. That's not in the Spirit. That's not sincere. That's not from the heart. That's a religious show. And so if I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm not using vain repetitions, because God says I'm not interested in that. When you pray, it's not so that everybody can hear how wonderful and flowery your prayer is. We had a guy got saved in Charleston, in the church we started down there outside of Charleston. And he got saved and baptized, and he just never knew anything about the Bible. And he started learning, and one day I called on him to pray. And he just froze. And he didn't pray. He just sat there. So in the uncomfortableness of the moment, I prayed. And then afterward, he came up to me, and I said, brother, I didn't mean to embarrass you. I just wanted you to, you know, it wasn't a big crowd of people. When you start a church from nothing, ain't nothing there, okay? He said, well, I just don't think I know how to say it right. I said, God's not interested in you saying it right. God's interested in your heart. That's praying in the Spirit, you see. It's not the words. It's not the repetition. We all know how to learn prayers. That's not praying in the Spirit. All those Catholic prayers, all those memorized prayers, all those, I hated that in Bible college. I was at the university, and you know, the chancellor's getting up and takes out his thing out of his pocket and opens it up and starts reading this prayer off a piece of paper. I just wanted to puke. I said, man, who are you talking to? You talking to us? You're reading me your speech, or are you talking to God? Yeah. Heavenly Father, I wrote this out today. He didn't do it like that. But he's saying our prayers need to be in the Spirit. Look, if you don't know how to say it right, just pour your heart out to God. Talk to him. He appreciates it. He knows what's in your heart anyway. But it's not with vain repetition if it's in the Spirit. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'll read you, I think, this also. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, it means to pray in accord with the will of God. It means to pray with sin out of your heart. It means to pray not with vain repetitions, not something you memorized. And then 1 Timothy chapter 2, I would add this to that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. You see that? In other words, praying in the Holy Ghost means you're not praying in wrath. And praying in the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you're praying with doubting. You see that? You're lifting up holy hands, that means your heart's right, it's clean. You say, well, man, I'm not clean enough. Well, spend some time and get clean and then start praying. Amen. And don't doubt. You remember what James said in James 1? He said, let him ask in faith, because if you don't ask in faith, Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. God doesn't listen to our prayers if they're prayed with doubts. So if I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, a part of that fruit of the Spirit is the faith that comes in my life of who I'm talking to. You know, that praying is such a spiritual exercise. There's nobody there. Now, I know we'd be spiritual and say, well, God's always there. Yeah, but you can't see Him. And it takes faith to do that. It takes faith to talk to a God that you can't see, you can't touch, you can't feel, and you can't handle. He says you need to pray in the Spirit. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And you don't need to be doubting. You need to have faith. And I would just add to the fifth thing to that, praying in the Spirit. James 5:16, he talks about praying effectually and fervently. And that Spirit, he talks about Spirit, you know, you've heard that. We got Spirit. Yes, we do. You know, the Spirit. That's some Spirit. Not deadness. Not organized, but Spirit. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There may be a lot in that verse, but I tell you what is in that verse. Spirit is in that verse. Pray with what you got. Pray with all you got. I tell you what, I've been around some sinners that got to praying and it scared me. Did you tell them to shut up? No, they weren't talking to me. And we're out there in Romania, these gypsies are getting saved. This guy's screaming and hollering. I thought, whoa, he's going to hurt somebody. And all he was doing was just screaming out to God. He was so sick of his life. Praise God. Just have at it, buddy. Just go for it. God's not nervous. You're not going to make me nervous. I've been in the Alabama football stadium. It's loud there. Don't make me nervous. He says, pray in the Spirit. So he's not just saying just to pray. He's saying there's a lot of different kinds of praying to do, and you need to be praying in the Spirit. You know, go back to our text. We've got to keep going here. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And what's the next word, church? Watching thereunto. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means we're supposed to be watching and praying. And if we're not, we're going to be in danger. Remember, the context is a battle. You need to be watching for the pitfalls of your life. You need to be praying. Because you know what Jesus said? He told those disciples, He says, watch, watch, watch. Ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And in the very next chapter, you know what happens? They go into the Garden of Gethsemane and He says, come on guys, I want you to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know why a lot of times we enter into temptation? Oh, we may pray a lot, but our eyes aren't open very good. We're not watching and praying. We're not looking for things. And you know the story. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane and they go a little farther. And those guys, what do? They start sleeping, right? You don't do a whole lot of prayer sleeping. Have you ever tried to pray at night and you just went to sleep and then you woke up and you prayed a little bit and then you went back to sleep. And then the next morning you'd swear that you prayed all night long. But really what you did, you slept most of all night. You know what we do a lot of times? We're asleep. We don't watch. Our eyes aren't open. We need to be watching. And we have a dangerous world out here. We have pitfalls for our own lives and for people that we love. And we need to see those things. And we need to be praying about it, praying about them, because the Spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. And we need to keep both eyes open. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. You know what happens in the battle? Oh, it gets a little hard. It gets a little treacherous. It's hard to keep praying. Maybe it's easy to start praying, but it's hard to keep praying. It's hard to persevere in prayer, notwithstanding the battle and the trouble that's coming. Oh, we need not to give up in prayer. Boy, you can ask my brother. They did that little thing for him today. There and surprise you, Mom. They pulled it up for me and I saw it online after church this morning. And my eyes got big. My brother's eyes got big as saucers. His mouth dropped open. And you know what he said? He got in front of the church. His mom and dad were there. And he said, I just want to tell you that I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for the prayers of my mom and dad. But I'm telling you, church, there were some lonely nights and long years. And somebody said, I think I'll just persevere and pray. Praying always with all prayer, he says. And he says, perseverance, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19. And then he says, and for me. Boy, that's good. The great apostle Paul said, I want you to pray for me. You know what Paul was? Paul may have been the greatest Christian that ever lived. I don't know. He wrote most of the New Testament. But he says, you know what I need? I need prayer. I need you to pray for me. While I'm trying to minister to you, I need you to pray for me. That means that, look, if Paul was in need of prayer, all of us are standing in the need of prayer. And for me, I want you to pray for me. Why? Look at it. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know what he could have said? He could have said, Ephesians church, I want you to pray for me. I'm in jail and I pray that you need to pray for me. I get out of jail. That's what I'd be writing, Brother Jerry. But I'm sitting here in prison. Pray that I'll get out of jail. Get a hold of God. We're going to believe God and trust God. And I'm going to get out of jail. That was not his prayer request. He said, you pray for me that God will give me boldness to open my mouth while I'm in jail. Man, you see how our prayer requests are so mixed up sometimes? Pray that the gospel, the mystery of the gospel is going to be advanced. He says, I'm an ambassador in bonds. It's not a mistake that I'm in prison. It's not a mistake that I'm in this position. God put me here. Pray for me that I'll get everything out of it for God. Pray for me that I'll open my mouth boldly. I tell you what, when you're a jailbird, I bet it's hard to get bold. When other people, amen, are controlling your food and your freedom, probably been pretty easy just to keep quiet. Well, I'm in jail, you know, I can't ruffle up the guard's feathers. There's even somebody around here that's related to Caesar. I better not say anything around him. Boy, they may surely cut my head off. No, not Paul. Paul said, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me that God would give me boldness to open my mouth as an ambassador in bonds. And brethren, we're all ambassadors for Christ. Every one of us that are in Christ are ambassadors for Christ. We need to pray for each other that that word of God, that utterance from our mouths would go forth to glorify God and to testify of Jesus Christ. And the temptation is just to be quiet. But boy, I think their prayer got answered. Because you don't get very far at the end of Paul's life. And he says there are some people here that have trusted Jesus Christ out of Caesar's own household. That didn't happen because he was too timid to talk to them. Somebody's prayer got answered. And he said, pray for boldness. I wonder, is that our prayer request? They looked at Peter and John. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus because they saw their boldness. Not their love. I'm for that, but they saw their boldness. You know what the early church prayed in the book of Acts? Lord, grant unto thy servants boldness that we could speak the word. And God answered that prayer because it was in the Spirit. It was according to the will of God. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And all kind of people got saved. Amen. Boldness. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the gospel message. Pray for it to go forth in the public school tomorrow. Pray for it to go forth through the power of God, through our missionaries. Pray that it'll go forth, amen, on the parade route. Pray that the utterance of God, that God would give the men of God boldness to deliver. Paul said over and over, brethren, pray for us. I want to speak as, see verse 20, as I ought to speak. I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I tell you what, boy, that is not our generation. My son, I think he does it just to motivate me just to get up and rip, snort, and preach and make me mad. He showed me a clip today on his phone of this nice little sermonette from this millennial dude. Ugh. And after he got through saying what he said, nobody had a clue what he said. He was talking about God blessing your blog and about the number of likes and connecting the number of likes to your relationship with God. And it was like that. It's like that. What is it? That's the way it was. You know how he was doing it? Well, you know this and you know that. That's Joyce Meyer and all these people. They're all talking about it. And let's just have a conversation. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, pray for me that I can preach boldly. Amen. And that is not what this generation of religion has. Right. Matter of fact, it's offensive. Yeah. Yeah. But evidently it's biblical. Amen. And it's what works. Amen. And this other thing's not going to change anybody's life. And the Spirit of God's not going to get in it. Because look, heaven is too wonderful and hell is too real and the hour is too late and time is too short and life is too uncertain and the world is too needy and Jesus is too worthy for me not to be bold and mess around and not put it out with all I've got. Paul's life is coming to a close. He says, pray for me. God will help me not to back up but to move forward. And by the way, he says, I want you to know how I'm doing. Look at verse 21. That helps in the battle to know people doing good. Ephesians 6:21, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. I want you to know how I'm doing. Tychicus, of beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. He says, I'm sending you somebody, and this person's going to inform you everything you need to know. He's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. And he has, look at verse 25. He's got the same purpose that I have. Can I say this? This is so important. It ties in with the message tonight. We need to pray for good replacements. Paul says, I'm in bonds. I'm in jail. My course is going to run. I can't be there with you. But I'm sending somebody in my place. Somebody that God provided. Somebody that was beloved and faithful. Somebody that had the same purpose that I have. And what is he going to do? He's going to comfort your hearts. You know what that tells me? That tells me he had to have been a Bible preacher. Tychicus had to preach the Bible because the Bible says comfort one another with these words. He had to know that book. God, give us some replacements that'll stand up and know how to use that book and help people and comfort people's hearts and give them the truth of God. You know what else comforts you? He not only had to have been a Bible preacher, he had to be a Holy Ghost preacher because the Holy Ghost is the comforter. That replacement had to know something about the Bible to comfort their heart. That replacement had to know something about the Holy Ghost to comfort their hearts. Had the same purpose that he was coming to fellowship with them and help them. And church, Brother Fleur was right when he said, please join me in remembering that prayer request of our Lord. God, that you'd send forth laborers into the harvest field. Oh, what a generation. What a generation of servants and preachers and godly men have passed off the scene. And what is going to happen if our Lord tarries his coming? And who is going to stand in the gap? Who is going to replace those? Not just to replace them for replacement's sake, but replace them in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God to meet the need of people and comfort their hearts. He said, verse 23, peace be to the brethren. You're in a war, but God's got peace in your heart. And by the way, prayer brings peace, does it not? That's what Philippians 4 tells us. Peace be to the brethren. You want peace in your heart? Pray some more. Just pray some more. So that's simplistic. Just go ahead. Just do it anyway. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith. That was coupled together in the very first chapter, 1:15. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we conclude right here, verse 24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. How? In sincerity. This great epistle concludes with this. You know what makes me angry? And I point this out from time to time because it's so important. And all these naysayers that say, you know, we're just on some hobby horse about the King James Bible. This morning we saw how important that was. To see the Son of God in the Bible. Tonight you see another one. You know what's taken out of all these new Bibles? Sincerity. Why would you want to take that out of the Bible? Well, just love the Lord. No, there's a lot of people that love the Lord that don't love Him sincerely. There's no sincerity in their heart and life. God help us. Right across the page when he started Philippians, you know what he said? He said in verse 9, and this chapter 1, verse 9 of Philippians, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be," what? "Sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." God, deliver me from a hypocritical religion. God, deliver me from going through the motions of my Christian life where I'm not sincerely praying. I'm not sincerely loving God. I'm not sincerely singing. I'm not sincerely doing the will of God from my heart. And the Apostle Paul says, in this battle, you cannot forget to be sincere in your love for Christ. It means more to you, and He means more to you. And that you'll prove the sincerity of your love by staying in the battle. And you'll prove the sincerity of your love by entering into all those blessings and cultivating a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. Question: do you love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity? And if you can't say amen, then the book's not finished. God, help us tonight to thank Him for all these heavenly blessings, but to live with our earthly responsibilities in sincerity and in closeness to our Savior, praying always.